The Holy Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from our God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Savior. Amen. As we've noted, today is Christ the King Sunday. In our world of Christendom, it has only been around for about 99 years, so it's a new church festival. So I'd like to offer a little bit of history. Pope Pius XI instituted this feast day to end the liturgical year in 1925. You see, Europe was devastated by the First World War, and the Pope was concerned with the rise of fascism and nationalism that he noticed throughout the land. He hoped that by emphasizing Christ as king, he would refocus nations and individuals and leaders to recognize that Christ is the ruler of the universe, and governments and rulers will come and go. Almost 100 years later, perhaps we need this festival now just as much as we did 100 years ago. What does it mean for Christ to be our king? I will admit that I sometimes struggle with this language of monarchy. The idea of kings and queens seems so far away, like the stuff of fairy tales. I grew up watching every Disney princess movie that came out, and I also spent a lot of time in literature like C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is the extent of my C.S. Lewis inventory. I will say that it is coming here and seeing all of your passion for C.S. Lewis does make me think it's worth looking into. I just structured my education as such that he didn't make the syllabus, but there's a good lecture that you can watch from Thursday's Faith and Life, and maybe you'll be inspired, like me, to actually read some of his work. So. But my point is that through his characters and his, lands that he created, C.S. Lewis helped us learn about truths beyond what was maybe make-believe. And so in those stories, I noticed that there were, it was always a battle of good and evil. And if the king, the queen, the monarch was good, everybody lived happily ever after. But if the monarch was bad, it was a disaster. They would lord their power over their subjects and exploit everything that they could. These make-believe stories, and even our biblical stories of the kings and queens of old, make me glad that I live in 21st century America. As a citizen of the United States, a nation that prides itself on democracy, I don't want a king. I don't want to be subject to anybody. Instead, I want a vote for my leaders. I want a say in how they govern. I don't want anybody to lord power over me. I want my own autonomy and the freedom to choose how I live my life. So there. But upon reflection, and after I say all of that, it does give me pause. Perhaps with this attitude, I am putting too much trust in my own ideas, ideals, and desires, And I might be even putting too much trust in our own imperfect political system. Perhaps I need this feast day too. I need Christ to remind me that governments and leaders come and go, but Christ's reign is forever. Like it says in Revelation, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. Or, like we say in the words of our Nicene Creed, his kingdom will have no end. Well, what is this kingdom like? In our gospel reading for today, Jesus declares to Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. So for our time together, I want to offer two interpretations of this declaration by Christ. The first is that by this statement, my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus' kingdom sounds otherworldly, like it exists in some other plane of time and space. It could be interpreted as the kingdom of heaven. And we get this beautiful imagery of a heavenly home through the images of Revelation and from chapter 14 in the Gospel of John. And the KJV translates it like this. See if this is familiar to any of you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house there are many mansions. It's a beautiful and comforting image of what is to come, and that there will be life after death. In my previous congregation back in Illinois, this image, this interpretation of God's kingdom was especially important to a woman who I will call Frances. This is not her real name, but I want to share her story with you. It was 2021, and COVID was raging, and Frances had contracted the virus. And at 91 years old, with a host of other health conditions, her doctors gave her only a few days to live. Now, at this point in time, I could not go visit her in the hospital, but her family was determined that she would not die alone, because they also couldn't discharge her to anywhere as a COVID-positive patient. So her family members would go every single day to be by her bedside. They took the risk, they would gown up, they put on the goggles and the mask and the face shield, and they sat by her. And on the in a hospital room, there's this whiteboard, a dry erase board. And it has communications for your medical professionals. It might say your doctor's name and some goals for the day, right? So it might say, you know, decrease blood pressure or walk down the hallway. And on Frances's board, they wrote, plan for the day, go to the mansion. She loved this passage. Frances trusted that her suffering in this world was going to end and that she was going to a heavenly kingdom, a place where there was no suffering, there was peace, and she would be with Christ in this glorious kingdom forever. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. As someone who doesn't want a king, I could maybe get behind that. With Christ as our king, we are promised life after death, and this promise of new life can give us a great hope for how we are to live our days. But you can't help but wonder, what do we do in the meantime? What does it mean for Christ to be our king today, in the here and the now? We have to be careful, because if we're only concerned about the kingdom that is to come, we might miss out. We might turn a blind eye to the harsh realities of the here and now. We might walk right on by a neighbor who isn't living in a palace or a mansion, but in a cardboard box. But that brings me to the second interpretation of Jesus expressing that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is explaining that his kingdom doesn't follow the status quo of the world. Jesus' kingdom would have been unrecognizable to Pilate, his conversation partner in this exchange. You see, Pilate and Jesus, they're at the point in the Passion narrative called Trial Before Pilate. But the thing that's like kind of mind-boggling about it is that Pilate is trying to determine if Jesus deserves death. But even if he doesn't find him guilty, he gets him crucified anyways. Like, there's no justice here. Rome's going to do whatever they want to keep themselves in power and to put down a rabble-rousing teacher like Jesus. Rome doesn't care about its own subjects. It cares about its own power and maintaining its own kingdom. If I was analyzing this from my childhood brain, this was the bad kind of kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is different. He rules like a different kind of king. Instead of lying on a bed of silk sheets, Jesus lies in a manger. Instead of wearing a crown inlaid with jewels, Jesus wears a crown of thorns. Instead of sitting on a throne in a palace, Jesus hangs on a cross. During his life on earth, Jesus cares about everybody else more than himself. He feeds the hungry, he clothes the naked, he heals the suffering, he sets the captive free, he lets the little children come to him. Jesus provides restoration and wholeness to those on the margins, and he does not do it alone. He brings along that ragtag group of 12 disciples and women and patrons and followers of all kinds, and then sends them out two by two to build his kingdom on earth. Jesus shares his power with his subjects. And he invites us, his followers of today, to participate in this reign of love, compassion, justice, and wholeness. So, what does it mean for Christ to be our king today? Having Christ as our king means that we live in ways that model his reign of love as we look forward to the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's a caution in this interpretation too, just like the last one. Similar to how you can get too focused to the kingdom that is to come, you could get too focused on the here and now. If you make this kingdom's work about building the kingdom all about you, we're missing the point, right? This happens. You can get so focused on my good works, how generous I'm being, all the people that I helped, how altruistic I am, and how good I serve. But then the focus is on us. And you don't have to earn your way into that kingdom. Having Christ as our king means that we trust in the salvation that we have through Jesus and only through Jesus. And we trust in the unconditional and everlasting love we have in God. So, with Christ as our King, we trust that we have life after death, and in our new life that we will have, we hope to model it and bring it to this life too. We hope that Christ's kingdom of love and wholeness will be reflected in how we live. Praise God for having Christ as our King. May he rule over our hearts and minds and impact our actions. My friends, on this glorious Sunday, all hail Christ the King. Let us pray. God Almighty, God of our ruler, God, our majesty, and our love. We beg you, make your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Reign in our hearts, minds, and bodies, so that we may serve you in love forever and ever. Amen.